Hey, sorry everybody for our late beginning. Let's rock and roll. We are studying Maseches Brachos, pardon me, Shabbos. Sorry, we're talking about Brachos. And we're going to be talking about Chanukah tonight. I'm not going to be talking about lighting the menorah. We're going to be talking about special Chanukah prayers. Specifically, with regard to Birchat HaMazon, or grace after meals. So just so you can open your Gemaras up and you have a station identification, we're on page 24, side A. Second Shabbos, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. About five lies down, the Gemara now begins a new topic. You got the wrong Gemara? Shabbos. Maseches Shabbos. Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, pardon me. You got the wrong one. It's volume two, probably. Okay, let's keep going, Kevin. Right? So the Gemara is talking about praying. The Gemara is talking about acknowledging the festival of Chanukah when we do Birchat HaMazon. Yiboyelu. The Gemara begins with a question. The question is, Mahu lahazkir shel Chanukah bebirchas hamazon? Should we be mentioning Chanukah when we recite grace after meals? Rashi explains. Bitfila pshitalon. When it comes to davening, it goes without saying. Shaharei lahalel ulahoida nikvu. Because when it comes to the festival of Chanukah, the whole purpose of the festival of Chanukah is lahodot ulahalel, to sing Hashem's praises. So what would be the logic if the whole purpose of Chanukah was to sing Hashem's praises, to acknowledge Hashem's miracles? What then would be the logic of us not reciting a prayer formula or some kind of prayer mention of Chanukah if the whole Chanukah is lahodot ulahalel? The purpose of our prayers is to praise God. That's what we do when we daven. The vast majority of our prayers is not asking. The vast majority of our prayers is not entreaty. The vast majority of our prayer is praising Hashem. The entire preamble is praising Hashem, Pesukah Dezimra. And then we come to blessings of Shema. We try to elevate our consciousness. We accept upon ourselves Malchus Shemayim. As soon as we get to Amidah, which is the actual prayer, what do we start to do? We praise Hashem. That's how we begin every Amidah, every Shmona Asrei. We conclude the Amidah of Shmona Asrei by doing what? Thanking Hashem. Now Chanukah is lahoidai sulahalel, to praise and to thank. That sounds like a description of davening. That's a prayer description. So if Chanukah is lahoidai sulahalel, if Chanukah is to praise, if Chanukah is to thank, it's self-understood that the prayers that are offered or recited on the days of Chanukah would be infused with a sense of Chanukah. That goes without saying. Rashi says, with regard to prayer, it's a given, it goes without saying. Because after all, as we mentioned earlier. Now Rashi here refers to the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara asks, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? What do we celebrate anyway? What is the purpose and point of this holiday? And I refer you back to the class about 25 classes ago when we studied this Gemara. And the Gemara answers, after explaining what exactly was the reason or catalyst for the sages engaging the Jewish people in the celebration of Chanukah, the Gemara says that L'shona acheres kavum, a year later, the year after the miracle of Chanukah, it was established, va'asa'um yomim tovim, they made them holidays. Now usually for a Jew, a holiday, a yom tov, is a day you don't work. It's a day you don't do certain kinds of everyday behavior. But on Chanukah, you can work. You can do all kinds of everyday behavior. You don't make Kiddush. So what does it mean, a Yom Tov? What makes these days good days? Or holy days, also known as holidays. What makes it a holiday? And the answer is, it's Yomim Tovim B'Halal V'Hayda. What makes it a good day, a holy day, a holiday? With Halal and Hiddah. In other words, the way we make Chanukah special, this will come as a big surprise. It's not with latkes. I know you love latkes, but it's not with sufganiyot. It's a Chanukah's Yom Tov. Let's eat donuts. Well, you can eat donuts. That's fine. But that's not what makes Chanukah special. What makes Chanukah special? Lahodot ulahalel. When you sing Hashem's praises. Incidentally, if you like sufganiyot, that's all fine. That's okay. You can make a Chanukah party. Do you know when your Chanukah party is actually meaningful? Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you sing Hashem's praises at the Chanukah party. If the Chanukah party becomes an opportunity to gather your friends or family and to speak of Hashem's miracles and to sing Hashem's praises, yes, then that can be a meaningful Chanukah party. A Chanukah party without a mention of God or holidays, without the Hallel and Hidah, is just an opportunity to gain weight and nothing else. It doesn't mean anything. From a spiritual perspective, it's nice to get there with family all the time, but it doesn't have spiritual value. It doesn't have Yiddishkeit value. It's bagels and lox Judaism, which is not the 614th mitzvah.
That's why we add halal.
Correct. That's why we add the halal. Now, common logic, says Rashi, is if the whole of Chanukah was established, what makes it a holiday is halal and haidah, is praise and thanksgiving. Isn't it self-understood that davening, which is primarily comprised of thanks and thanksgiving, and praise and thanksgiving, the beginning of Shemona Esrei is praise. The end of the Shemona Esrei is thanksgiving. Wasn't it obvious that we would infuse that with the Chanukah sentiment? It goes without saying. It's like French fries and ketchup. Of course. Guys, thanking Hashem on Chanukah. Shh, don't talk about Chanukah. What are you doing? Chanukah is Lahidus Lahala. What are you doing now? L'hoidus al-halal. Okay, it's a Yom Tov. It's a good day. A good day means a day in which we're able to have an enhanced, more meaningful, more profound, or more deep relationship with Hashem. And the way we curry that nurture and curry that favor with God, and nurture that relationship with God, is through the force of prayer. So prayer is hal v'hidah. And it's Chanukah, self-understood, that hal v'hidah is going to be a critical and key component in our observance of Chanukah. So the Gemara does not even ask the question. It is a given. It is self-understood that when it comes to our prayers, there would be a Chanukah add-on. When do we have this question? Well, the question is when it comes to grace after meals. And let me just explain to you that grace after meals is not a typical prayer. Because usually, prayers are about receiving blessings from Hashem. So the halal and haidah, the way the Gemara explains it, it's just basic etiquette, menschlichkeit. Before you ask somebody for a favor, you kind of speak nicely. Please, I appreciate all the things you've done. I think you're wonderful. You're a shining knight in armor. You've done fantastic things for my family and for my people. Perhaps you could do such and such, Your Highness. I'm so grateful. I appreciate it. We have just endless gratitude. That's what Yishmon Esrei looks like. Before you make the ask, you praise. After you make the ask, or numerous asks, you thank. So the halal and haidah, the praise and the thanksgiving, they frame the ask. The only time you recite Berachat HaMazon is when you're fully satiated. That's the biblical mitzvah. V'achalta v'savata uv'edachta. Do you know that the Rambam says that if you didn't drink while you ate, even if you ate a lot, you still don't make a bracha because hydration is necessary for the to drink. Min ha-Torah, biblically, you're not obligated to say Berachat HaMazon. So what is the whole idea of Berachat HaMazon? The Rebbe explains that if you look high and mighty and proud, you forget about God. Who has time for God? I'm so successful. When do we ask? We ask when we need something. You know that famous story of the guy who needed a parking space. He was late for a meeting. He was freaking out. It's like the whole year is going to rise and fall in this meeting, and it'll come late. And he starts to pray, and he says, "God, I promise you, you give me a parking space, I'll come to shul every single morning till Pesach." And as he says these words, suddenly a car in front of him turns on the blinkers, and the guy starts pulling out. He says, "Forget it, God. I got a parking space already." When you're in trouble, everybody davens. As they say, there's no atheists in the foxholes. But when everything's good, well-fed, well-coiffed, satiated, ha! I'm so cool. I'm gewaldic. I'm so successful. You better bench right now. Why? Because benching is about humbling oneself. Benching is about remembering that everything we have, especially when we're successful, is a gift from God. So it's not really a prayer. If somebody asks you, is Birchat HaMazon a prayer? I'm not so sure the right answer is yes. It's a mitzvah. I don't know if it's a prayer. There is a mitzvah to daven. According to the Rambam, it's a biblical mitzvah. Rambam quotes our sages, who says that every time we have the word vi'avadetem, which comes from the root source eved, to toil, to work really hard, that this idea is avodah shebelev, that servitude of the heart. What is it? What is servitude of the heart? This is tefillah, this is prayer. The Rambam understands this to mean that biblically we're mandated to pray. Ramban very sharply disagrees with him in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he brings all kinds of proofs that davening is of a rabbinic origin. And the resolution to the questions that the Ramban levels against the Rambam are really very simple. He says, Rambam never said it's a mitzvah to daven three times a day. He never said it's a mitzvah for us to follow this etiquette or order of prayer. The Rambam said it's a mitzvah to daven. Ramban parries back, it's a mitzvah to daven when there's a great need. To which Rambam's defenders respond, and what is a great need? It's a relative concept. You talk to a child who didn't get a certain doll, the whole world is melting. You talk to a teenager who didn't get the new phone when everybody else got it. He had to wait a whole 6 weeks. The world has come to an end. So should he daven? Oh, that's nothing. For you, it's nothing. For him, it's a big deal. So the moment you say big need, the word big and need are two relative concepts. And therefore, the Rambam says, davening is always a mitzvah. Davening, every day a Jew should say, please God, I have needs. I recognize it comes from you. But there's no mitzvah to make Berchat HaMazon, to say grace after meals every day. In fact, a person, in theory, could go by a long time without making grace after meals. If you didn't eat bread and you didn't experience satiation, this condition is also known as the Atkins diet, you don't make a bracha of Birchat HaMazon. Plain and simple. You're always hungry. You didn't eat bread. You don't make the bracha. I understand rabbinically we have all these ideas that you should nonetheless make a bracha. But this really is the question. So according to Rashi, this is a really, really, really big question. Is that called Lehodot Olahalo? We don't know. We don't know. So the Gemara asks. That's what you do when you don't know. Women ask for directions. Men get lost. Learn from the Gemara. If you don't know, ask the question. Now Tosfos says, what is going on over here? He says, I don't understand this. If this is a question of halal and hidah, we should have been dealing with this earlier on page 21. Why are we dealing with this on page 24? We just went through pages of discussions of how you light the menorah, where you light the menorah, when you light the menorah, how, who, what are we talking about? Prayers all over again. If this is an issue of lahodot ulahalal, and it was self-understood, the mic was not on the whole time? Gevaldik. So nothing's recorded? So if that's the case, why did we wait all these pages? And especially the last piece of Gemara is not even connected directly to Hanukkah. The last piece of Gemara, it's talking about oil that's supposed to be burnt, and a question of whether I can burn it on Shabbos. So clearly, the Gemara didn't feel that it was time to address this issue because this is not connected to the celebration or observance of Hanukkah per se. The first thing we needed to do is deal with Hanukkah. But to deal with what is Hanukkah, establish what Hanukkah is, and then after the halal or the hoydes, we have to establish, so what does this mean, to light the menorah? The truth is the Gemara first says that the sages ordained this holiday to light the menorah. And only afterwards, did they say, after you finish lighting the menorah, then the sages said, and we should have halal and hodah. So the Gemara says, after having discussed the whole menorah business, now we come back to the halal and hodah, which we did not discuss yet. And it's not even a discussion whether it gets included in prayer. The question of Tosfos nonetheless remains, so why did he wait till after the last sugya? The last portion of the Gemara was talking about something which doesn't seem to speak about Shabbos at all. So the commentaries answer that it's really not so simple. I alluded to this last week in our previous class. And I explained to you that according to the opinion of Rabbah, that you're not allowed to use the shemen sreifa, the oil which must be burnt, because it's a mitzvah and I might hasten its burning. So according to that, I wouldn't be able to light the Hanukkah menorah on Shabbat either with this oil, because I have the same concern. Usually, the oil that can't be used on Shabbat is not a problem for Hanukkah, because on Shabbat, I'm using the light. The Shabbat candles, I'm supposed to enjoy the light. So Shemayata, I might adjust the wick so the light burns brighter. But the Hanukkah menorah, I don't use the light. However, when it comes to the Shemen Sreifa that we talked about in our last class, you may well still adjust the wick. Why? Because you want it to burn faster, because of the mitzvah. The Tzvi Chayes adds that there's another issue over here. It's possible because you're so concerned about having the Shemen Sreifa burn that not only Friday night, but maybe altogether it would be an issue because you would try to have the menorah burn more quickly and it might not burn long enough. At any rate, this is the way they explain. There is a connection. There is a lead-in. The previous Gemara is not divorced from Hanukkah. It is a continuation of Hanukkah. It's kind of the final statement on how I light my menorah, what fuel or oil I'm going to use. And at this point, I'm going forward now, so I saw what happens at Birchat HaMazon. So that's the question. And the way the Gemara frames this is a little interesting. Kivan de midrabanan, it's only of rabbinic origin. So since it's of rabbinic origin, loy madkirinon, it doesn't have to be mentioned, or as Rashi says, loy mazkirinon. And Rashi emphasizes, loy chivu lahazkir, it was not made incumbent. It was not a requirement. You may, it's not required. Oy dilma, or do we say, mishum parsume nisa, because the purpose of Hanukkah is publicization of the miracle, supposed to publicize. And since you want to have this publicization, you want to make it known to everybody, get the word out. So therefore, every opportunity I have to mention Hanukkah, I should mention Hanukkah. It's called getting the word out. It's like social media. Every like is part of getting the word out. Every tweet is part of getting the word out. True, it doesn't go viral until you get 100,000, but it starts with one. So I have to mention Hanukkah. I mention Hanukkah. I daven, I mention Hanukkah. I light the menorah, I mention Hanukkah. I keep mentioning Hanukkah, so I talk about Hanukkah. It's an issue. It's something which is part of the currency of every conversation and every endeavor. So that helps promulgate the miracle, the story of Hanukkah, and which has been very effective, because here we are, almost 22 centuries later, and we're still talking about it. And it's not because a different group of people decided to make a festival that had lights around the same time of the year. That's not what we're talking about Hanukkah. We're talking about Hanukkah because the story of Hanukkah has endured the sands of time. It has outlived the changes and vicissitudes of the centuries, because Parsumei Nisa, our sages knew what they were doing. They knew how to preserve the eternity of this message. So this is the question. Now, according to Rashi, the maskir or any maskir is about if any tzarech. I don't have to. Maybe I could. Maybe I won't. I don't have to. And according to the commentary that Rashi continues to share with us, he says, in tefillah, in prayer, this is included in the bracha called hoda'ah, the blessing which is known as thanksgiving. We have a blessing we recite thrice daily in our Shemoneh Esrei of thanksgiving. So in that bracha of hoda'ah, says, kula milsa de Chanukah, ikra lahodah nistakna. The whole idea of Chanukah was made for hoda'ah. So if the whole idea of Chanukah was made for hoda'ah, it makes sense that at a time when I'm saying thank you, that I would be saying thank you for Hanukkah too, if it's on Hanukkah. It just makes good sense. And since that's the way we are mefarsem, since that's the primary vehicle through which we're going to promulgate and we're going to spread this message, it makes sense that I would do it that way. The Tosfos has a very different approach. The Tosfos says, it's about Parsumei Nisa, right? So if it's about Parsumei Nisa, says Tosfos, it's about a public thing. Now, when it comes to prayer, prayer is thanksgiving. But what's the right way to pray? in public, with a minyan. That's the right way to pray, if possible. If a person doesn't have a minyan, you daven anyway. But the right way to pray is with a minyan. A lot of people don't know this, but in Shulchan Aruch it says that somebody who doesn't come to shul on a daily basis is not a good neighbor. That's not a State Farm commercial. Shachan Tov is description of our sages. That's how our sages describe a Shachan Ran, a Shachan Tov, a good neighbor, bad neighbor. Like, it's important to be involved in shul, not once a year, or three times a year, or once a month, or even once a week. Really, are you supposed to come to shul? That's the truth. Giving you the unvarnished goods. I know it's not making anybody comfortable here, but I'm telling you what it is. So prayer is always done publicly. And because prayer is something we try to do publicly, and because parsume nisa, or publicizing, getting your message out, involves a public, it's French fries and ketchup. It's a match made in heaven. Davening is public. Chanukah is public. Two publics, they mix. Birchat Hamazon, there's no mitzvah to go get a minion to do Birchat Hamazon. It's not even a mitzvah to try to eat with three people. If you eat with three people, then you have a mezum and you engage everybody before you start to do Birchat Hamazon. And it's true that Pnei Yeshua and the Gemara Bracha says that that's like a minion, has a similar kind of idea. But there's no such emphasis on trying to get a minion together, trying to eat with a crowd. You can eat yourself, it's fine. So that's really the question over here. So, okay, when it comes to prayer, it's self-understood. So to Rashi, it was self-understood when it comes to prayer because that's what Chanukah is about. It's about Thanksgiving, and that's what davening is about. So Thanksgiving, it's natural. According to the Tosfos, this is about the idea of doing something in public. Of course, there's going to be a difference between the two. The difference is, what if you're davening by yourself? According to Rashi, you still are obligated to mention Chanukah because Thanksgiving belongs in Thanksgiving. According to the Tosfos, if you're davening alone, you might not have the obligation anymore. Now, interestingly, we say when it comes to Purim, it's never a question. It's never a question if you should mention the Al Hanisim in Purim at Birchat Hamazon. This question that shows up here, Iboyolohu, do you mention Mahu Lahaskir in Mesechet Megillah when we talk about the special prayers of Purim and the Al Hanisim for Purim? There's no question like that. How come? So I think it's a Cheshek Shlema. He says very simple. In the Megillah, it says, Mishpacha u Mishpacha. It talks about the celebration of Purim, and it uses the terminology of families getting together. It talks about a public forum. And in fact, on Purim, we know it's a mitzvah to eat. Famous Levush, of why is the difference how we celebrate Chanukah and Purim. I don't want to get into that now. But on Purim, there's an emphasis on meals, and meals that are had publicly. So if you have Parsume Nisa, this idea we want to get the message out, well, Birchat Hamazon on Purim is a natural venue for doing that. Because people get together. They celebrate together. But Chanukah, not so much. And because Chanukah, not so much, and there's no obligation to have meals, according to most of the Rishonim, and most of the Poskim, the Rambam does hold, you have to have some kind of Chanukah meal. But according to most of the Poskim, you don't have to have a Chanukah meal. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you sing, if you're going to make a Thanksgiving focus on it, then it could be a mitzvah, then it could be something. So from that perspective, it's not really a question if Purim should have Al Hanisim included in the Birchat Hamazon. It's self-understood. It's natural. It fits like davening fits. But on Chanukah, not so. So this is the question. If it would be a biblical mitzvah, it's not even a question. It's a biblical mitzvah. It's a biblical day. It doesn't matter what the purpose of mentioning this day is. This day is rife with special, holy, biblical energy. Of course, it must be mentioned every time we engage in a prayerful formula or a formula of a blessing. But according to the fact that Chanukah is rabbinic and the rabbis ordained it with a specific purpose in mind, namely that we should be doing Thanksgiving, what connection does that have with the idea of Birchat Hamazon? That's the question the Gemara has. Or do we say no? That was the purpose. That's what the sages meant. Utilize every opportunity to get the message out. Omar Rava says, Omar Rav Sechayra, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Sechayra taught, that Rav Huna taught. The answer is, Eino Mazkir. What does Eino Mazkir mean? You don't have to mention. Rashi explains Eino Mazkir means you're not obligated. You're under no duress, no obligation. Vein bala haske. What if somebody says, but I really, you know, I feel such a Hanukkah. I'm so jolly. I feel like in the Hanukkah spirit. How can I do b'chata mazah when I met you? Okay, he says, no problem. Vein bala haske. If you want to. Maskir b'hoda'a. Hoda'a, says Rashi, is b'chata ha'aretz. That's the second blessing of the four blessings. This is the bracha of Noida Lacha Hashem Alekeinu. Noida means we thank. So when there's a bracha that talks about thanks, that's where you insert the mention of Hanukkah. Now here we have a very interesting understanding that's being conveyed to us. And the interesting understanding is, were it to be obligatory, it would be included where all of the other obligatory mentions are included. The obligatory mentions are included not in the second, but in the third blessing. In the blessing which finishes Uvenei Yerushalayim. That's when we talk about the Chagim. That's when we talk about the festivals. That's when we mention Shabbat. That's even when we mention Rosh Chodesh. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But Hanukkah and Purim do not get mentioned in the third blessing, but rather in the second blessing. As Rashi would tell you, of course. It's a natural match. Nodelecha is a blessing, a formula of thanksgiving. Ve'al Hanisim is a formula of thanksgiving. You're not obligated to mention Hanukkah. It doesn't have to come up in your Berachat HaMazon, but it's self-understood that if you're going to mention it, you'd like to mention it. When you're saying, Nodel Lecha, I'm thanking you, God, that's when you should mention Hanukkah too. That's how the Gemara answers the question. The Gemara now records an actual happening. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Rav Huna, the son of Reb Yehuda, Ikla Lebei Rava. He came to the house of Rava. Savar, Laad Kurei Bibonei Yerushalayim. They didn't have a siddur. They had a text to read from. So he thought the right thing to do, that's what he was told. This wasn't already canonized as what you do. The right thing to do is that he's going to mention it in Bonei Yerushalayim. That's where you mention Shabbat, that's where you mention the Chagim, that's where you mention Rosh Chodesh. He'll mention Hanukkah there also. Amar Lu Rav Sheshe said to him, no, you make a mistake, he says. That's not what you're planning to do right now is actually not correct according to the prayer etiquette. Why not? Because kitfila, even though prayer it is obligatory, and Berachat HaMazon it's not, it does follow the same gestalt, the same pattern. In prayer, where do we put it? In modim. In the bracha of thanksgiving. He says, well, if in modim it's in thanksgiving, where should it be in Berachat HaMazon? Then it would surely be in thanksgiving. In the bracha of, in the tefillah, where it's actually obligatory, we nonetheless relegate it to the thanksgiving. We don't say it in the blessing prior to thanksgiving, the way we mentioned the chagim. So certainly when it comes to the concept of Berachat HaMazon, which is not obligatory as we explained, where would it be included? In no delecha. In the blessing which speaks of thanksgiving. Ma tfila b'hoda, just as tfila is in hoda, af b'chat hamazon, so also the grace after meals, where do we say the bracha? In no delecha. Everybody got it? That's the sugya. Now I ask you a little question.
Jewish Thanksgiving.
That is the original Thanksgiving.
Every day.
The Jewish Thanksgiving means the original Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, all you wise people. If you don't eat bread, but you do eat crackers or pasta, something that you make a mezonot for, what bracha do you recite afterwards? Me'en shalosh. A mini version of the original Berachat HaMazon. And since originally Berachat HaMazon was comprised of three blessings, there was a mini Me'en Shalosh, quick, like a very, very short hammering together of the basic themes, all in one, all rolled in one. Therefore, it's called Me'en Shalosh. And then there's a discussion whether or not we mention the fourth bracha. Our custom is we do mention. We mention Tov Meitiv. Okay. What happens when you had a piece of cake and it's Shabbat? When you say your al hamichya, what do you say? You mention Shabbos. What do you say? Uritzei Vachlitzinu Yom HaShabbos Hazeh. What if it's Rosh Chodesh? Zachreinu L'tovu B'Rosh Chodesh. And so it is with Pesach, with Shavuot, and with Sukkot, with Shmini Atzeres HaChag Hazeh. How about Chanukah? You have a piece of, forget a piece of cake, you have a donut. Many donuts. And now you have to make a bracha. You're so happy. You feel so satisfied. You start to make alamichya, alakakola, alatnumus, you start reciting the bracha. Do you mention Chanukah?
No, but in the Birkat HaMazon we have a special section for it.
I know in Birkat HaMazon we have a special, we just talked about Birkat HaMazon. But this is a bracha that's me'ein shalosh. So it's a bracha that's me'ein shalosh. The question is, do we mention Chanukah? Or Purim, Chanukah or Purim. Does it get mentioned?
It doesn't say that.
It does not say it. And in fact, the halacha is, we do not mention it. The obvious question is why. So Maharam Rutenberg says that the bracha me'ein shalosh is a composite. It's a bracha that has many different ideas. The idea of hazanat ha'olam, Hashem who nourishes. It's a bracha that includes v'nodelecha, and it's a bracha that also includes the idea of uvnei Yerushalayim. We see from the Gemara that when do you recite at what point in the Birkat HaMazon do you mention Chanukah? At what point? In which blessing? In Nodelecha. Nodelecha has a single voice. There's a single theme. And the theme is Hoda'ah. The second blessing is not as the third blessing, pardon me, Uvnei Yerushalayim, the blessing of Rachid, is not a single theme. It has multiple themes. It has Yerushalayim. It has Beis HaMikdash. It has Malchus Beis David. It has thanks. It has acknowledgement. It has entreaty. It has prayer. It has requests. It's a composite. It's a complicated bracha. And in that complicated bracha, we also mention on Shabbos, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, we say a special bracha on Shabbos. And our bracha on Shabbos is also complicated. We thank Hashem for the gift of Shabbat. We acknowledge the beauty of Shabbat. We ask Hashem that Shabbat should be meaningful for us. We should enjoy and appreciate the serenity of Shabbat. And the same is true with Ya'alav Yavo. Ya'alav Yavo is a prayer. It's an entreaty. It's Rosh Chodesh. We didn't bring an offering today because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We ask Hashem, remember us for good. We should be thought of favorably. We should hasten the arrival of Mashiach ben David. It's a complicated prayer. It has acknowledgement, it has thanks, it has entreaty. The bracha of Al Hanisim, what's in it? It's very simple. The bracha of Al Hanisim is single dimensional. What's the dimension of Al Hanisim? What's the single theme? Thanks. Al Hanisim, Ala Purkan, Ala Gvures, Ala Chuis. We mention all these things we thank Hashem for. We thank Hashem for one, for a second, for a third. And then we talk about the history. What happened? Why we think, you want to know everything Hashem? Bimei Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in the days of Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and in the day of Chashmonoi, and in the day of their children. A whole story. And it's all about? Thank you. It's simple. Mamachad Mufuzar is Purim. It's all single dimensional. It's a monochromatic blessing. So monochromatic formulas have to be inserted into monochromatic frames. Otherwise, it doesn't match. Something colorful can be in a colorful environment. Something which is not colorful, but single-dimensional, is in a single-dimensional frame. When it comes to Chanukah and Purim, it's not about entreaty, it's not about prayers. There are no korbanos that were brought on Chanukah. It's Thanksgiving, it's halvaida. So where do we mention it in Birkat HaMazon? We mention it in the bracha of Nodeh. Nodeh is a monochromatic blessing. Nodeh lecha Hashem Elokeinu. Thank you. Says my Rami Rutenberg, how would you mix a monochromatic mention of Chanukah, of Purim, into a multicolored bracha me'in shalosh? It's more complicated than the blessings of Birkat HaMazon. It's all the themes woven together. Understand?
When they even composed the blessing, they composed it according to these The main shalosh that the composer that had to fit.
100%. The main shalosh fits very, very clearly with the framework of Rosh Chodesh. Is all part of Ya'alav Yavo. It's all that it fits in. You understand? It makes perfect sense. So the next time you're at your Hanukkah party, you could say to them, do we mention Hanukkah and Alam Michya? 99% of the people will not know the answer. You know the answer. The Levush says that Al Hanisim is Hoda'a alone. And Birchat HaMazon is the only place where we have this single Hoda'a alone. Very similar along the lines of my Rami Ruttenberg. There's a beautiful like a thought from Reb Chaim of Brisk. Who had these very interesting ways of analyzing things and categorizing, cataloging. He says like this. He says that the blessings of Me'ein Shalosh, you mention Shabbos, you mention Rosh Chodesh, you mention all these things. Why? Because, he says, the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh was woven of three brachot. Bracha 1, Hazanas Olam. Okay, we'll include you. Bracha 2, Nodelecha. We'll include you. Bracha 3, Rache. Okay, so we took blessings and we compressed blessings together. What happens if a person forgets to mention Shabbat in his Birchat HaMazon? He says, Uvnei Yerushalayim, Mehid of Yer, Amen. Oy. Say, I forgot the Alav Yavo. What do you do then? The halacha is you mention it right there as a blessing on its own. You mention it right there. So the Chaim says, in other words, the mention of Shabbat or Rosh Chodesh or the festivals is actually a bracha on its own. And since Me'ein Shalosh is woven of independent brachot, it makes sense that they should be included because that's the whole idea of Me'ein Shalosh. To get, you see, membership to this club is you have to be a bracha on your own. If you're a bracha of your own, you belong in the Me'ein Shalosh special coterie. You mean be allowed, you're glad club membership. And since Shabbat can be a bracha on its own, you can be allowed to join the idea of Me'ein Shalosh. Oh, you can be allowed to come in.
But Amida, you can't go back, right? But Amida, you can't.
Amida, we'll talk about, let's not confuse things. But what happens if you finish reciting the bracha of Nodelecha? Allah Aretz Vela Mazah. It's Hanukkah. I forgot to see Yalav Yavo. Do you insert at Sardmi Al Hanisim? Do you insert Al Hanisim between the second and third blessings? No. Why? Because Al Hanisim is never a blessing unto itself. Al Hanisim is ever an add-on. And since it's ever an add-on, it's not allowed club membership into the exclusive Me'ein Shalosh. Because the exclusive Me'ein Shalosh club, you have to be a bracha unto yourself to get in. That's how you have to, that's what you pay at the door. A bracha on your own? Yes, you may enter. Oh, you are an add-on. No add-ons allowed. Understand? I don't know. I don't think the Chaim Brisker used the terminology of a club, but I'm just putting it into easy syntax. All right? You got that?
Yes.
So now you learned about mentioning Hanukkah, grace after meals. Okay, very good. Let's learn a little more Gemara. Then you can all go on to your merry ways. I mean, jolly ways. You shouldn't get confused with Hanukkah, right? The Gemara says, okay, now that we have the subject, we're talking about this business of Hanukkah, and Hanukkah mentioning in Grace of the Meals. Tell me something. A Rosh Chodesh that we do include? I know, you and I know we do include, because we're living after the Gemara. But in the time of the Gemara, well, this is the question. We say, one second. Rosh Chodesh does get included? Rosh Chodesh is not really like a Yom Tov. As the Gemara says, what about Rosh Chodesh? Forget that you know the answer. Forget that you read the last chapter. Okay, spoiler alert. I know you know the answer. But in the meantime, let's discuss this. The Gemara says, one second. So Rosh Chodesh, is it mentioned? Well, let's use the same methodology or logic that we evoked earlier. If the reason that you said that on Hanukkah it's not necessary to infuse the grace after meals with the Hanukkah mention. Why? Because Hanukkah, we said, is drabanon. Hanukkah is rabbinic. Well, if the reason that Hanukkah was not obligated is because Hanukkah was rabbinic, then what happens to Rosh Chodesh, which is not rabbinic, but rather biblical. It's the first mitzvah we got, for heaven's sake. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The very first mitzvah we ever received was the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Of course it's biblical, but it's not even a question. So if it's not even a question that it's biblical, so certainly it should be included in the Berachat HaMazon. Tim Salem and Hanukkah, the Rabbanah late Tzorech, Rosh Chodesh Day Raisa, Rosh Chodesh is biblical. Tzorech it needs. Oy Dilma, maybe not. Maybe not, says the Gemara. Oy Dilma, maybe. Kivon de Liyasur Ba'asiyas Melacha, since it's not a day that you're prohibited from doing work, especially as Chassidus explains to us that the idea of doing work and the reason we're not allowed to do work is because we're in the presence of the king. When you're in the presence of the king, you stand at attention. You don't do your own thing. Well, it's Shabbos, with Shabbos, Yom Tov. We're standing in the presence of Hashem. When you're in the imminent presence of God, it's not time to play your games. Do your own thing. You have to be respectful. Well, guess what? Rosh Chodesh isn't like that. So it may be a day that's spoken of in biblical terminology, but it's not a day that has that kind of requirement attached to it. And therefore, maybe it shouldn't be mentioned in Berachat HaZon. Maybe the club membership is no work. Then you can get in. Just like a biblical day, but not a biblical day that's really a Yom Tov, that's a different story. So that's the question. That's the two sides. That's the debate. This is the two ways to look at Rosh Chodesh. Is Rosh Chodesh more powerful than Hanukkah because it's biblical? Or is Rosh Chodesh really the same as Hanukkah because both of these are not really Yamim Tovim? They're not really holidays. So Rav Amar, Rav said, Mazkir, we should definitely mention it. Definitely mention. What kind of questions then? Rabbi Chanina, Omer, Rabbi Chanina said, no, any masker. Omer Rav Zika, Nekoit Rav Biyodcha. Rav Zika said, listen to me. Go with Rav. Go with Rav. I know Rabbi Chanina is older, but Rav is a master of halacha, especially when it comes to the ritual. Stick with Rav, that's all. Nekoit Biyodcha Rav. Nekoit Rav Oishia Kavasei. How do we know? Because Rav Oishia also followed this same approach. The Tani we learned in a Braisa, Rav Oishias, Yomim Sheyesh Bahem Korban Musaf, days in which there is an additional offering brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Which days are that? Kigoyim, for example, Rosh Chodesh, Cholo Shel Moed, Arvit, Veshacharit, Umincha, evening services, morning services, afternoon services, Mitpalel, Shmon Asrei, I daven my Yamida, the Omer, and I say, Me'ein Me'ura Ba'avoda. I speak about the Beis HaMikdash, I speak about that extra korban, that extra offering, when I ask Hashem to restore the Beis HaMikdash, which is the blessing prior to the Thanksgiving blessing. That's the restoration blessing. Bring us back our temple. V'im lo yomar, and if he didn't say it there, machzirin. Chzirin means, if you remember it after you say, Machzir Shekhinat HaTzion, say it right there. If you didn't remember, you say it, you insert it later, or you go back and say the Shemoneh Esrei over. And you see, the Ein Behem Kiddusha Al HaKos, there's no Kiddush on Cholosh HaMoed, there's no Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh, but there is a Korban. So it's not a Yom Tov. When you make Kiddush, you sanctify the day, that's the mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos. And we understand that just like you have to remember Shabbat, Zachar at Yom HaShabbat, Zachareu B'dvarim, you have to use your words, you have to recite a formula, you have to invoke holiness, that we also, our sages tell us the same applies to every Yom Tov as well. Every day when we don't do work, there should be idea of Kiddush. So from the fact that we say every day when you don't do work, even though it only says it by Shabbat, doesn't say it by Yom Tov, but we infer that any day where there's limitations on work that we may or may not do, you do make Kiddush. Over here, there's no Kiddush made, not a Rosh Chodesh, not a Cholosh HaMoed, but there is extra carbon, because there's an extra carbon, you mentioned it in the Amidah. So you see, the Gemara considered them to be of the same genre. The membership to get into this club is not Kiddush. The membership is not Yom Tov, meaning you can't work. The membership is the extra sacrifice, the extra offering in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yesh Bahem Askara. So the Birchas HaMazon, the same thing should also be in Birchat HaMazon. Yomim Sheim Behem Korban. Days in which there is no Korban. Musaf. There is no additional offering. Kigon, for example, Sheini V'chamishi V'sheini. Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays. What's this talking about?
Torah reading.
Well, Torah reading. Why should you mention? What do you want to mention in Birchat HaMazon? Remember on this day of Torah reading? really is talking about Taniyot. It's talking about the different fasts. The different fasts were established called Bahab, Beis HaBeis, Sheni Chamishi Sheni. So you had certain fast days which used to be observed. Umamodos, the official fast days. And then there's the Ma'amodos, then there's the Korban that was brought on a daily basis, had to have representation, because a Korban has to have Baalim, has to have an owner standing there. And since this is brought on the behalf of the entirety of the Jewish people that worked great in the Midbar, in the desert, in the Mishkan, with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, you can bring the whole Jewish people. But how are you going to get the whole Jewish people to spend time in Yerushalayim? Somebody's got to work also. Everybody will spend the whole day in the Beis HaMikdash. That's only 3 times a year. So what's the answer? The Jewish people select from amongst themselves special representation. And there were people called Anshei Maimed. These are people who represented the rest of the nation. They would travel to Yerushalayim. Every week, a different group of people, they would spend those days praying and fasting and studying Torah. And they were at the Korban. And they became our proxy, our power of agency. So Sheni, the Gemara says, Sheni v'chameishi v'sheni ma'avid etayu. What kind of Monday and Thursday? Hello, the Gemara says, Sheni v'hei so tiny, so ma'amodes. We're talking here about the fast days. We're talking here about the amodes. And we say, Avis, v'shachris, u'mincha, the evening service, the morning service, the afternoon service, Mispal Shmon Asrei, Yusei Shmon Asrei, Ve'omer Me'ein HaMa'ura, B'Shomeya Tefillah. We do speak about the day in a special prayer called Shomeya Tefillah. That's why we say prayers like Aneinu, or on Tisha B'Av Nachem. Now Nachem is in Bnei Yerushalayim, sorry. Aneinu. Ve'im Lo Yomar, but if it wasn't recited, Eimachzir Nisa, you don't make him go back. Many remove the next few words. That's no kiddush al hakos, because that's it goes without saying. And the Ein Bahem Haskara, the Birchas HaMazon. They do not get mentioned in Birchat HaMazon. Which means, you say, how's Birchat HaMazon? It's a fast day. How are you going to mention Birchat HaMazon? So the answer is, if somebody has to eat because of health reasons, the question is, does he mention the fast day? So if you have to eat, God forbid, on Tisha B'Av, you say Nachem. In your grace after meals. If you have to eat on Yom Kippur, you say Yalav Yavo. So, but in this instance, even if they would be eating, even if it's a special days, there would nonetheless not be a mention of it. Since there would not be a mention of it, so from here we can see that the membership fee is Musaf. Musaf. And therefore it goes without saying, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, there was never a question. When was there a question? Was Chanukah. That then is the meaning that Chanukah is midrabbanan. It doesn't matter that Chanukah is rabbinic and the prayers are biblical. The prayers are rabbinic too. Grace after meals half the times could be rabbinic. That's not the point really. The point then of rabbinic means, because it's a rabbinic holiday, there's no korban, there's no offering in the Beis HaMikdash, because we don't add offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. The days the Torah says we bring extra offerings, those are the days we bring extra offerings. So on a day like that, when the Torah ordains that there's a korban musaf, then there's a mention in davening, and there's a mention in grace after meals. Which puts us in a situation where it seems that you don't really have to say Chanukah in grace after meals. And in fact, if you forget to say grace after meals on Chanukah, you do not have to recite, according to most poskim, you do not have to recite the Birchat HaMazon again, because it's not obligatory or mandatory, it's more of an elective. Although many maintain that it's just like Ma'ariv is once elective and then became obligatory, once this becomes Halacha Shulchan Aruch, it is obligatory, and we should do it. And incidentally, if you forget Al HaNisim in the beginning of Birchat HaMazon, in the end of Birchat HaMazon, when you have the Harachamans, right? You have Harachaman, you mentioned Shabbos, Yom Tov, you know what I'm talking about, the end, the little Harachamans at the end, you could say, instead of Al HaNisim V'Al HaPurkan, you could say, HaRachman Hu Yasa Lanu Nisim V'Niflaot Kemosha Asit L'Avotenu B'Yom Eim Ezman Hazeh. And then when you can include your mention of Al HaNisim, the entire prayer of Mimei Matasyo, and so on and so forth. So, now you have a little bit of a deeper understanding as to the nuances and details, not only of prayers, but also of Berchat HaMazon. And the main thing is that Hashem should help us that very soon, hopefully before this year Chanukah, we should be able to celebrate Chanukah and the Beis HaMikdash with a real menorah, all ablaze again. True, there will not be extra korbanot, the extra offerings, but we certainly then will be able to engage in lahodot u'lahalel, in thanksgiving and in praise. B'mheira u'b'yameinu.